We're holding here in an Amud Kufayin Beis, in some Perek Samach Beis, in Yehi Sheim Hashem Verach Matavar Eilam. So now the Maral says, we said before that the Hilul needs to be as specific as possible. When you praise somebody, just kind of, it was great, thanks, that doesn't have the impact and the meaning that when you detail something. So Yehi Sheim Hashem Verach Matavar Eilam is going to be one shevach. Mimizach shemesh ad mivoy is going to be a second shevach, and Ramal kol goyim Hashem a third shevach. I want to add a certain nekuda, an understanding bechlal ma'amarei tehillim like this and so on. What is an example of a bad speaker? Somebody who does a terrible mistake when he speaks or writes, it's in your need to express a lot. Like when you say thank you, you feel it's inadequate. So you need to articulate a thank you and in more words. So one mistake works as follows, or doesn't work as follows. I guess that would be a better way of putting it. You got to say, you know, your gift was like the sunlight and like a brook running and like the sea against the shore. Now, all of those things are very, very nice things. The sun shining in the morning is nice. The brook running is nice. The sea pounding against the sand is nice. I could probably go on with that if I need to fill up like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I guess at some point you run out of things, but you can go on. It's inherently meaningless because I didn't add any meaning with each muscle that I gave. So there's somebody, someone was telling me once, this is a long, long time ago, because I remember the amount of money he said. Somebody once said a hesped on somebody, and the person saying the hesped was woefully inadequate, and he actually was being masped with somebody big, and this person's just happened to, for whatever reason, political reason, was being masped, and he said, you know, the nifta was a type of person. It's not the type of person that you put a nickel into a machine and pull the thing and out comes a person like that. That was his poetic description of the person. So it's meaningless. What is nice, Lamashal, is the following. When you're describing the gift that you gave me, so I would say the following. I would say you cut a piece of yourself off, let's say. You gave it to me with a smile that's like X and Y, and you disappeared without waiting for a thanks. So I'm relating to three different aspects of it. I'm talking about how much it costs you to give it. I'm talking about how much, how pleasantly you gave it to me. And I'm talking about how modestly you sort of demurred and you sort of moved out. So then when I'm giving the three shvaches, I'm saying something. And it's Tanakh, a lot of times for us, the problem is we reach here, Hashir. So yes, this is like this, and this is like this, and this is like this, this is like this. But if it sounds like the bad case of the first speaker. It's like the person saying, your gift was like, and then we start with the metaphors, like the sun rising in the morning, like the sea pounding the sand, like the mountains rising in this. It's going on and on, it means nothing. So when you see something like that, you need to ask yourself, Lamashal, Baruchi Nafshi, he's describing the beauty of the world running. If there's no rational structure to the pieces, then it's not a dvar chachma at all. So we say, Yishem Hashem Baruch Toilom, Shkosh Baruch Shem Baruch Shem, Mimizah Shem Voyim Bol Shem Hashem, Roma Kogam Hashem Shem Kvoide. All of these are wonderful things, but is there rhyme or reason to it? Are we saying something or not saying something? Are we just kind of pounding out the metaphors and as they come to us? So obviously not. So giving it a certain type of structure and saying, this is connected to this, connected to this, connected to this. Chazal, when they say, Lamash, we saw before, this was said by Hanani, this was said by Mishal, this was said by Azariah. What they're trying to give us is the structure of how each piece complements the other piece. And that's the only way it has meaning. So we say, like this, say, Shem Hashem Baruch Hashem, Hashem should be blessed from now and ever. From where the sun rises to where the sun goes down, Hashem's name is blessed. Hashem is higher all the Amdis Nep. Did we say anything more? Is this part of a, are we constructing a meaningful whole, or we're just hacking and hacking? So, he says, this is why this type of pshat, and again, it has to be meaningful also. Sometimes a person, sometimes if it has no rhyme reason, if Chazal say this is going to get this, this Yaakov, if it's not more meaningful than this, then again, if it doesn't come together and make some sort of image, then we're just hacking words and hacking words. So, Yishem Hashem Berich Matoreilo. He's speaking about Kadosh Baruch Hu in each of three alamis. Let's talk first outside. Let's describe what three alamis are, and then we'll understand why each shevach relates to a different world and why it has significance. When we talk about three worlds, we mean three stages of existence, and each stage has its own mahalach in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Maisa is reflected in the best light. Let's give an example. If I build a business, or let's say if I give a tzedakah, I establish a tzedakah institution. So we talk about the idea, whose idea was it? We talk about the funding. We talk about the structured organization. Each one is a step down, and each one has its own particular shevach that's suited for it. So in the terms of idea, this was an original idea. In terms of the funding, it was very generous without second thoughts. In terms of running it, it was very structured and very thought out and very disciplined. So hey, on the third level, it's a very different type of shevach. On the second level, if I say I gave money begrudgingly and every penny you have to slip out of me, that's not a big shevach when you're talking about the nativa slave giving the money. When you're talking about running the organization and saying it was helter-skelter, nobody thought twice, nobody asked questions, that's not good either. So each level of it has its own shevach. There are three olamos. There's a world of only, let's call it, pure ruchnius. The world of Ruchni or Olam Haba, that's the shorish of the Bria. Ki bekor Hashem tzur Olami, or Kachbaka, the world with a Yud for Olam Haba, and Hei for Olam Hazeh, and that's one Nekuda. The second Nekuda, and that world is sometimes, in some places, it's Malachim, but that world has, that's the Olam HaElyon. There's a second world, and that's called the Olam of the Galgalim, or which is the celestial bodies. Let's understand how to translate that. In the time of the Rishonim, like the Rambam and so on, the celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, etc., were seen as semi-physical entities. They were seen as being quasi-spiritual, quasi-physical. We could see them. They were made of a different substance, which today we don't understand that way. But it doesn't make a difference. The muscle will be good. We recognized that they somehow affect things on Earth, even though they're up there. Mazolus and the Levana has Hashpa, the sun has a remarkable Hashpa, and the Bria lives close to the sun. The Levana has a Hashpa, and Mazolus have Hashpa. Today we can translate the same thing as the laws of nature in the big picture. The laws of nature are not physical entities, they are conceptual realities. The law of gravity, the law of thermodynamics, the four laws of thermodynamics, all of the laws of nature are real. We see their effect every single act that we do, but it's something other than physical. So we have something in this world that is manifest in the world, but it's not a physical entity. And finally, we have the world that we're in and everything that happens in it, and so on and so forth. Those are three worlds. If we want to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu appropriately, we need to find in each layer of the world the appropriate shevach. So let's go. The word olam in Lashon Kodesh means two very interesting things. It means forever, and it means an entire universe. It when we talk about me olam ve'ad olam, we're talking about olam haba. So whenever we're talking about olam in a definitive way, we're talking about olam haba as opposed to this world. Let's understand what that means. The word olam means forever. The word olam means a universe, an entire universe. The tzad hashava of both of these are that they are self-sufficient entities. Now, when I say an entire world, what I mean is that everything finds its place minei ubei. Everything within this world doesn't need another world. I can see everything. Everything this world is contains itself. It keeps itself together, and it is totally independent. Or else, it's not a world. If I'm missing something, it's like a farmer. They used to have what's called self-sufficient farms versus crop farming. Self-sufficient farm means I grow everything I need in my farm. To be called a world means it doesn't need to recourse to any other world. It's self-sufficient. Our world is not really self-sufficient. Anything that is self-sufficient is eternal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal because since he needs nothing and came about not through the means of anything else, so there is no end to it. It exists because it exists because it exists. So Olam Haba is a real tzura of a world. And we're Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that world. We say Yishem Hashem Varech Me'atavat Olam, meaning we recognize that the Amitus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in that world, not in our world. Everything that we have in our world is drawn from that world. But whatever we see here in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the actor who interacts with us, that's only a branch of the real Shem Hashem that's up there and is totally not shayach to us. So the first thing we say is Yehi Shem Hashem Varech Me'atav V'ad Olam means, the V'ad Olam doesn't mean forever, it means to the forever. From here all the way to where it comes from. Olam Haba Lasid Lovo. Let's explain something. It's counterintuitive for a minute, but then if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. This world is called a pole star, and the next world is called a traklin, a hall, a banquet hall, a big hall, and a pole star is a hallway. When a kid walks in, when you walk into the banquet hall, you walk through the hallway. So a kid is going to say the following statement. Well, first they had a hallway here. Then somebody said, you know, it would be great to have at the end of the hallway to have a nice house. You know, what could be better? What could complement the hallway better than a house? And you say, well, why do you think the hallway comes first? Because you're going through the hallway, and we'll tell him, no, a hallway by definition is a ramp to something. It leads to something. So both conceptually. And even in the building process, they probably started first with the hall and then extended outward a walkway or whatever it is. So when we take a look and we ask ourselves, Yishem Hashem Baruch Me'ata V'ad Olam means we declare that the Olam is where it really is, and our world is a mavui to that. That's one. V'chaka k'neged Olam Hasheni Oma Mimizach Shemesh Ad Mevoi Mechulol Shem Hashem, v'zeo k'neged kadosh b'shmei meroima. Ki mashama mizach shan shvoy mul shema shem hu. Ki min ha-shamayim nimshach hilu al-shem izbar. Ki dechsiv ha-shamayim sa'im kwet keil. Ki mitzar ha-tnua ha-zois, shi ha-tnua mi-mizach bad mayriv, moira la-meniach b'koichoy, v'noisin ha-tnua l-misanea, lefikach mi-mizach shan shvoy mul al-shem ha-shem. Ki achash ish kan misnoea, en misnoea b'lo menia, v'tzadzeh mul b'shem ha-sheni. Okay, let's talk about it. And he brings a chazal here. Hashemesh hazeh, the sun, may esri chosev atshkiyosa from its richetut shkiyah, hoy leches umekaleses HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's constantly HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shem mizach shemesh ad mevoy. So it says like this, the sun is always, the sun is going from Mizrach to Mayriv, the Shechin is in Mayriv, so the sun is always in a position of bowing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the big sweep, the arc of the Shemesh coming from Mizrach to Mayriv is a tenua of Ishtachavot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mizrach Shemesh ad Mevoy mul Hashem Hashem, it's a tenua of Ishtachavot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What?
Does that mean we halachically think of the world as being stationary, everything going around us?
It's certainly, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets the perception. Let's say two people, Lahavdla, sitting in a movie. You're sitting with somebody else. And somebody else, and you're smart. You know how a lot of things work. And you know how a movie works. And you tell the guy, these idiots here think that they're seeing motion. What they're really seeing is a lot of still pictures. So I would differ that maybe the other person's not the idiot. Because what they're seeing is motion. The mechanics of the motion is done by getting a lot of stills. But the mechuvin is this. How the mechanics of the world works is irrelevant to what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed on us a sense where we're stationary and the world revolves around us. That sense is appropriate. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it this way, that's also something that could use his brainness as to why. But our sense of it needs to be that way. It is that way. I mean, you speak of sunrise and sunset. You don't speak about the Nil rise and the Nil set. You speak about sunrise, sunset. You know, I haven't spoken to you about it. Maybe you've heard it that way. But you know. What? Yeah. So the tenua of the Shemesh is from Mizrach to Mayriv. It's a hishtachava. I want to hear the depth of it a second. We look at the laws of nature, and on the surface of it, the fact that the laws are so powerful and so ubiquitous, and all-encompassing, means we get a sense, oh, these are very powerful laws. These are tremendous. But on second thought, all of these laws, with their immutability and their all-encompassing, are a great shevach and hilul HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single time, at the moment, from the Bria to onwards today, everything's been pulled to something with a larger mass in a certain sequence and at a certain rate. And that's, so in the tenua of the Bria HaEmtzoyus, which is the sort of sweeping mechanical machinery of the Bria, is all Ishtachavot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when a person deheres nature, and deheres HaKadosh Baruch Hu in nature, what he should be dehering is not, there's no gravity of this, it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should be meheering Tzva Hashemayim Mecham Ishtachavim. And we saw Rabbeinu Bechai in Noach that he says, Yodei Hashem is people who understand the Hiluch HaKachavim and understand that it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dehering it, dehering that there's a Bria moving, it being misbeinin and knowing a little bit about the huge, about the mechanics of the Bria, and this is all a Hilul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's extraordinarily uplifting. That's a very different. The first Shevach is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sole existence in that Olam. The Sherish the Bria is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bolvad, nothing but him. The second Chelek is a Chelek of Tzvash and Chomishtachvim, that the entire mechanics, like one unit, that's all coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kine, biadav ze, kimitzara tnua sham grosser shasperch aminia kol, holechas makalesis. Kiatnua zois meral kerch, oyamnia shemesh kakolas and gashbaku. His again, they understood then that anything that moves needs something to keep moving it. Today we look at it differently, but even as we look at it today, something needed to put everything into motion. Whatever that energy that put everything into motion and it's spinning mikoyach that, if anything, it's even more astounding than if there'd be something constantly moving it. Kadosh Baruch Hu's great bang is put trillions of worlds into motion, in perfect motion. They're all balanced and most it is a juggling act that overwhelms the mind. So the second dag of the world is the mechanical structure of the world, and that it all is mekalsa kach parchu. I think I've told over. I was once in Montreal. They had like a little mini World's Fair. It was called Expo 67 and or 68, and there was in the Czechoslovakian pavilion. They had like this huge table. Czechoslovakia and Germany were two countries that were very gifted. People were very gifted at making mechanisms, you know, stuff like handcraft mechanics. And they had this huge, like, I don't know, it was like a room, a table as big as a room, big, very huge table. And it was a village, a small feudal village. And they had, I don't know, hundreds of people of the village, each one doing their own thing. Like a farmer tilling, you know, it was little dolls connected to like a machinery, a mechanical machinery. This guy doing this guy running riding on a horse to the pirates, this guy doing that, like a whole feudal village, and everything was in motion. There were wheels and gears putting in motion. It was run by one spring. In other words, there was one movement, and each and every object had its own mini movement. So like this guy would pick up his hammer every 2 seconds, and this guy would pick up the hose every 3 seconds, and then turn around every 4 seconds, and this that way. But it was all from one machine, from a machine meaning one mechanism, and everything. You saw like a normal village running, and then you realize it's all coming from one mechanism that's putting all of them in motion and a synchronized motion, and yet it's on, and it was like when you realize that, it was really, really overwhelming. That's the Bria. Many, many, infinite amount of times greater than that. That's the second world where the Bria is Mikas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, we'll go over a few minutes, but fine. Ashlishi. Zohar Hilul Shaloi Bameshu Romal Kol Goyim. The third one, in this world, we have another mahalach, and that is as follows, another shevach in this world. We spoke about the sun and the moon and everything being synchronized. It's doable. It's like that big table with the machinery. It overwhelms the mind, but it's doable. You can wind up the mechanism, and all the pieces run along and they follow along. But we're dealing with people, and each person really has a mind of his own, and you need everything to act in consort. In this world, every single ummah has its own metzias, and its own perspective, and its own tendencies, and so on. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above all these chilukim, and he's one. So you have three worlds going from top to bottom. Each one of them has another nekuda that is a gil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and each one needs to be recognized as such. So the highest world of Olam Haba, Me'atavan Olam, is in the Sheirish only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's one, and that's the highest daga. In the second daga, we have the oilam of the galgalim and the tenua, where the incredible tenua of the bria together is synchronized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the second gilui. And the third gilui is that in a world with really separate entities, where Edom and Yishmael and Amayri and who knows who are separate umas, and have nothing to each other, and each one has his own little turf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above it all, and everything comes mikocho. Those are the three daggers of Giluyim that we have at the Hillel. The Hillel is incredibly greater when you're able to inherit that way than if you just pick on a lot of little things. It's giving a structure to where the Pesukim are going with the Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, all today.